Okay, Ronnie, thank you so much. And the study tonight is going to be study 187 that we started some three and a half years ago almost, I guess. And to realize that it would take this long, I could not believe it, but nevertheless, it is, and here we are. And but we started out with the last seven epistles of Paul to these men and to these people, and we've got down to 2 Timothy. And this, of course, is the last epistle that was written by Paul to anyone, and it completed or filled up that God wanted us to know, evidently, because we haven't had any new revelation since. And but again, Paul is talking to 2 Timothy here, 2 Timothy 1. That's where we're going to go back to. If you got a companion Bible, it's 1809 is the page number. But we did the introductory notes and went to look at some other things in the appendices about where we are and what we're looking at and what Paul was trying to tell us concerning all this. And so we spent two studies already and haven't got very far into it yet, but nevertheless, these things are truly, these verses are truly loaded up with things that Jack Eberle really wanted us to look at, and certainly it's a good thing that we will, if the Lord wills. So we're going to start, and I made my notes a couple of weeks ago, but I'm still going to go back to verse 2. We're going to try to do verse 2 and 3 tonight anyway, hopefully. So I'm going to do like we always do. I'm going to read it out of the King James. I'm going to read my notes. And I'm going to read Jack's out of the Koine Greek and read his notes. And then we're going to look at the scripture. By the time we get all these done, all this done, and some of these verses, which Jack loaded us down again with a lot of reading, so and a lot of study, so that's never a bad thing. And so I'm going to look at verse 2 again out of my notes. It says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." And certainly Paul looked at Timothy as being, if nothing else, more than being an adopted son, as we're adopted saints into the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I guess he could certainly use that as looking at someone that he brought into the mystery truth as being adopted into that. I don't have any problem with that at all, and to realize and to understand it. Great is someone who can sit down with somebody and explain the wisdom that goes along with this. And here's my notes. It says, "The same word used of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father." dearly beloved son. He was talking about Christ. Used by Paul. And is the adjective. And if you look it up in the Greek, it is the word agapetos. And a common word for love is agape, is part of that agapetos in the Greek. This insight into Paul's knowledge generates the same adoptive relationship into the body of Christ as a saint is found when we read Ephesus. Whether apostle or saint, kinship in Christ brings all into one family of God by His great grace. And I can't say that strong enough. I don't know how. I don't have the words in my vocabulary to make it seem any greater than that. So, it is love or being chosen and or called. This way is love upon love. That's as best I can do. Love upon love. The love of God upon mankind as He put us in this battle between Him and Satan back in Genesis. I'm going to put enmity between the seeds, He says. Okay. Love upon love, grace, free undeserved favor, and it's God's gift to mankind. It is of God. And it is out from God because God, if you go back to appendix 104 and you look at it, you got a circle there. And those that made that said the circle is God Himself or the Godhead themselves. And so this grace goes from the circle out to us as we have been chosen and as we get knowledge and understanding of His grace to realize who we are, where we are, and how we stand in the family of God. Now we had a little birthday party Saturday for one of my little great-granddaughters. And one of my wife's sister's girls were there. Girl. She was there. And they go to a Baptist church. But she sat down beside me in a chair and we talked for an hour and a half. And I was so filled with joy till I could barely sit there. Because we talked about things that she knew some things about, but she didn't know the things that I had learned over the years that she hadn't learned. And I said, Susan, if you're under the tutelage of a pastor for a number of years, you're only going to learn what he knows. And I says, if he doesn't study really well, he'll never come to this understanding that you and I are talking about. And I said, anytime you got a chance and you want to come and sit down with me, I don't know it all. I know enough to know this, that it's not generally spoken of in a Baptist church. No. I've been there and was asked to leave because that was what I started doing.
Yeah, once it becomes more about the scripture and doctrine than it does about
and the tradition, to become saved is a great thing. I would never say anything against being saved, but to grow in the Spirit, to grow in the Spirit of God is what He expects us to do through the Holy Spirit.
Susan's always been extremely, me and her have talked 2 or 3 times. She's open-minded.
Yeah.
She understands more than you think she
does. I know she does. I found that out right straight off. Okay. Now we're talking here in my notes about this undeserved favor, this God's gift to mankind, and mercy and peace is added to a lot of Paul's teachings here, along with grace and love. And this, think about this mercy and peace from God or of God as being a space of time between our eternal God unto the temporary man, which is us, as sinners and being in need of learning as a young child is fed on milk to begin with. The Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord, it says. So, peace and mercy from God, our Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. And so, this short verse, it's not all that long a verse, but this short verse is full of the things that Paul wanted to bring back to our minds again, in our hearts. And so I'm going to read what Jack wrote in the Workman's Interlinear in verse 2. And out of the Koine Greek, I can't read very much Greek. Don't pretend to be a Greek scholar of any kind, but Jack put it down in English out of the Koine Greek. And it says to Timothy, beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God Father and Christ Jesus, the Lord of us. And then he brings it on down to the more closer English in this day and age. He says, to beloved child Timothy, grace, mercy, peace from God Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. There's very little difference in that there. And Jack's notes are this. Timothy was considered by Paul as his own child. Considered. He looked at him that way. He loved him that way.
Bone and son in the faith.
But he knew where he stood because he knew their mother and father and grandmother, or Timothy's kinfolk. Titus had this distinction also, says Jack. Perhaps they were led into the body by the mystery through Paul's ministry. At least, Paul feels more than a usual closeness to these two men to have addressed them as he did. Now, grace is the most used word in salutations and closing of Greek scriptural books or epistles. Mercy and peace are found often also. What better wishes could one have for loved ones in Christ than these words? Now, that's what Jack has written, but he has left us three places to go look at. And this is very few for Jack when he gets ready to dig in the scriptures. And we're going to look at these. First off, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 4. 1 Corinthians 4. And we're going to look at verses 9 to 17. That's on page 1702. Say, well, that's a lot of reading. Well, let's see where we at. And that's on page 1702. He says, for I think that God has set forth us, the apostles last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world, and to the angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but we are strong. We are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor, working with our hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscourge of all things unto this day. Was there anywhere I needed to stop there? No. He says, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, plural, sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause I have sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every assembly. I couldn't stop there. There's nowhere I could really cut that off. Yeah. I needed to go the entire distance. Okay. That's 1 Corinthians 4. Now the second one is 1 Timothy 1. So turn with me all the way over to 1 Timothy 1. And we're going to look at, and this is on page 1800. And we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. In 1 Timothy 1. You see, some of these things, you can't get the gist of what Jack was trying to put forth without kind of going through to a good place to stop. Start and stop and study is a thing that we need to really hone in on. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. This is what he wrote to Timothy to begin with. unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And so that's what he gave us in 1 Timothy 1 and 2. Now, we just finished up Titus, but let's go back to Titus again. And we're going to look at Titus 1. 1 through 4. And when we read it, you say, well, see, that sounds like what you just read. Well, when we read a while ago in 1 Corinthians 4, he called us about those two guys, he called them sons. So he looks at both of them as being basically the same situation. They know the word from Paul, rightly divided. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. This is on page 1816. Titus 1. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Before the world ever was. He promised things. He says in verse 3, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Christ Jesus our Savior. And so that's what Jack wanted us to see in connection with this verse of scripture that we read in 2 Timothy 1, 2. And so that completes that verse that I've been sitting on for 2 weeks and hadn't gotten around to doing it yet. Okay. So we're going to go back a page or two to 2 Timothy chapter 1 again. On page 1809, we're going to do 3, verse 3. Oh, we're getting somewhere tonight. We get somewhere every night. Verse 3 says this out of the King James. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. This is Paul speaking to Timothy, as a father would to a son. And so my notes. I, Paul, this is Paul doing the writing. I thank God. Prayers of thanks in Christ's love unto Christ Jesus and the Father. And I thank God whom I serve. And that serve there is Latar Eul. And I probably missed that up pretty bad. But that is to do the service required. If you have been called and chosen by God to do something, then God always gives you the ability to do it, because he has all this at his disposal. He is the Tor. He is the fabricator. He is the one that can get it done or have it done.
Thou says he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called.
Yeah. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. To do the service required, it says, from my forefathers, and forefathers is progonos. Well, if you are a forefather, you are gonos. In truth, anyway, you're in the grave. Progonos. Lineage. With pure conscience. Paul says, from my forefathers with pure conscience. Or in pure conscience. And so we have another problem here with Paul. Because Paul always, once he got struck down on the Damascus Road, and once he got his service straightened out with God, with Christ, he realized that he had been a person of law, because the Jews lived under the law. And he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. And he knew the law. And I guess the one that he learned from in his day and time would be like our lawyer of lawyers, if you want to call him a lawyer of lawyer, the head of the Supreme Court, in our sense. But Paul could never forget. And it always stayed with him, and he could never forget the disservice that he done while he was in this Pharisaic thing of being a Pharisee, and he wanted to stamp out this person called Jesus. And so he went to the head of the Council of 70, or whoever had the ability to write these writs that he could take, and when he found people teaching Christ, he could take them down a notch or two and put them in jail or put them in prison to stamp out this thing. Because they had been a lot of people come along down through the years that said they were the Messiah. But they weren't. And so how was Paul supposed to know? Well, he got it straight from Christ himself when he got struck down. So that was not a problem anymore. Because what he got on the Damascus Road there was
a close encounter.
Was not a question of law, but a question of God's will.
Yep.
Okay. But he said he did it in pure conscience, which I put in my notes, and I had to do that because it's the only way I could bring it around. And I put a note in a note. He said, in his early state of life, he knew faith based on a Pharisaical understanding, as the Pharisees understood the law and what they were supposed to do under the law. Paul had that understanding down better than anybody I knew, I ever knew of or read of. He says that without ceasing, meaning always in continual prayer. He always had a prayer for someone or for something that needed to be straightened out. He said, I have remembrance of thee, Timothy. How great was this remembrance? He said it was by night and day, fervently. Oh, it was on his mind all the time. He was awake. He was praying for Timothy, praying for Titus the same way. These two people had been chosen by God, and Paul knew that they, if they were going to carry on this mystery truth, it was going to be through men like these and through others that they could teach, that could teach it also. Otherwise, it was like a grape. It was going to wither on the vine. But Paul knew that it wasn't going to wither on the vine. Not on his watch anyway, for sure. So here we are. Okay, that's what I had written. Now, let's go back to the Koine Greek again. Verse 3. And it says this, thanks I have to God, whom I served from forefathers in pure conscience, how unceasingly I have concern you remembrance in the supplication of me night and day. And don't really sound exactly like it did when I read it in the King James Version. Did.
No, it's all of it.
It was a good bit different. And so he comes on down to the more modern English. He says, I have thanks to God, whom I'm served from forefathers in pure conscience concerning how unceasingly I have remembrance of you in my supplications. See, here's the word supplications. Supplications is generally always asking God for something for someone else and not for yourself.
And they are different prayers.
Amen. Supplications, night and day. He says, I am bringing your name before our God continually, night and day, for you guys. That is my hope in you, that you will do the service for God that He requires you to do. Now, let's see what Jack's note says. Jack's note says this, Paul indeed is thankful. Certainly he is. Paul was even trying to serve God in his ignorance. He had been blinded by Pharisaical faith. He had understood the scriptures from that standpoint. While his conscience was clear, it was misguided. And God had to strike him down on the road to Damascus. The story has been often told. Yet Paul is serving, is still serving God now as his new creation. From the beginning of his new life and ministries, he gives his all without holding back time or substance. Paul didn't hold anything back. He didn't charge anybody for anything. But yet, he received gifts. These gifts he gave back in different ways. He is the epitome of a prayer warrior, Jack says. And I agree with that. Because certainly, it was on Paul's mind the entire time that he was awake in this world.
He's probably going to be one of the people, I would say, in history that you could say probably almost stayed in constant contact, prayer contact with God.
Amen.
I can see him doing that.
Yeah.
He leaned that heavily on the Lord.
Yeah. And he, see, in Philippians, when he first started this, and he first began to see and understand these things, he wanted an out resurrection and that kind of stasis like Christ had. He wanted to come forth from the grave earlier than most others. And I think that was for a reason. I think he knew, he understood what his reason was probably most better than most others. And he understood it to the point that certainly we can go back to my little saying of not yet. Because Paul is not yet finished with what he is going to get to do in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, in some way, in some manner, it's going to be different a little, I believe, from those things that we might do as being part of his body. Because, man, great is this understanding that Paul has here. Okay. Let's look at the scripture that goes with this. And, oh, we got time to do it, but it's going Jack has laid it on us here now. Okay, so here we go. And we're going to start at Luke, and I hope I've got them all in order. And I like to do that because there's no, as much as we got to move around in scripture, I hate to go back and forth, but that's the reason I tried to do it this way. Luke, we're going to start in Luke 1, but we're going to go to verse 72 to start with. And there's a lot in Luke 1. Okay. We're going to read 72, 73, and 74. Well, let's go to 70 and do 74. As he spake by mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. 72, to perform the mercy promised. That's the reason we read this mercy more and more and more in Paul's writing.
We require a lot of it.
A lot of mercy. We need a lot of mercy. Because you see, here we are. We have been put between the seas. And we're fighting on God's side this enmity that was put between man and God. Okay. To perform the mercies promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we being delivered out of the hands of our enemies might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And it's hard. And it's hard not to stop there, but we'll go on from there because, that was on page 1434. I'm sorry I didn't mention it. But we're going to go on from there to Luke 17 and do 4 through 9. In Luke 17, that's on page 1485, and we're going to do 4 through 9. Well, I'll do 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee and say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had the faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root and thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let's see, where did I say 9? But which of you have a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. Okay. That's the second one. There. They were only 2 in Luke. Okay. Now, we want to go from Luke to Acts 2. Acts 2. We're going to look at 46 and 47. That's on page 1581. Acts 2, 46 and 47 on page 1581. 46 and 47. You know, early in Acts, we're getting involved in a group of people that were coming together to worship God, thinking that he was soon to return. And they continued daily, one with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church or the assembly daily such as should be saved. Okay. This was as they were getting together and making all things common, because they certainly thought the Lord was coming back, and they had no use for the Jubilee year because they wasn't going to need the land. They wasn't going to need anything that God had given that they could get back. Let's go to chapter 24 of Acts. Chapter 24, we're going to look at verse 12 through 16. This is on page 1646. 12 through 16 on page 1646, Acts 24, 12. And it was said in Acts 24 that 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man, neither raising up the people, neither in the synagogue nor in the city. Neither can they prove the things whereof which they now accuse me, because Paul was being accused. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense. They had nothing to accuse him of.
And he was
toward God or toward man.
He was at peace with that. He knew the truth.
Yeah. Buddy, when they give Paul a chance to speak, they better listen to what he had to say. For certain, because he was an apostle. He wasn't a prophet. Although, he was going to lose his life for the cause, too. But here we are. We still on, Ronnie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's go to Romans.
Still here.
Jack says, go to Romans. We're going to look at two places in Romans. We're going to look at Romans 1:7 Let me see if I can find my marker. I'll get there in a minute. Oh, it had a little marker. 1:7-10 on page 1662. 7-10 in Romans 1, page 1662. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Making requests. This is supplications, okay? If by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come to you. Well, it was for him. But it was for a prosperous journey. It wasn't for something that he otherwise needed. But even in these journeys, in this day and age, in that time, that might have been one of the great things that was truly needed, was that he needed a prosperous journey. He needed to be on his way under the tutelage of the Lord. Okay. We're going to look at 9 of Romans, 2 and 5, verses 2 and verse 2 through 5, page 1709. Romans 9, 2 through 5. He says this, if I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am unto you. For the seal of mine apostleship are we, basically, in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this, have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as others, apostles, and as the brother of the Lord and Cephas? So he asked these questions because he was asking about, someone was asking him about his apostleship. And so he was going to some length to explain it here. Okay. And so that was the reason for these things. Because he did say, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ? Are not my works in the Lord? All these things he started with. And certainly he did. Okay, let's go to Philippians. We're getting there. I told you. Sometimes Jack's. Things are. A little long, but yet he's giving you the story. Philippians 3:4-6. That is on page 1777. Philippians 3:4-6. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Why? Well, he knew the law. 5. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the blood of Israel, and of the tribe of Benjamin. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. He said, all these things that I did under the law or according to law, he said, I'm going to set them aside. I'm going to put them on the dung pile.
Put them in this pile.
Yeah. We're going to put them on the dung pile. That's the way it goes. Okay. We're going somewhere where we don't usually go. 1 Thessalonians. That's a few pages over. 1787. 88. 1788. We're just going to do 1-3 here. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. That's the first one. Okay, we're going to go to next page, 2:9. Second chapter, we're going to do 9 through 13. We'll have to turn a page for that. 9 is on page 1789. And we're going to go from 9 to 13. For you remember, brethren, our labor and in travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. We are witnesses, and God also how holily and justly and unblameably we behave ourselves among you that believe. As you know, how we exhort and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doeth his child or children, that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. And he says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but that as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe. And so while we're here, we're going to look at chapter 3 in verse 6, which is on 1791. That's just a page over. And we're going to look at 3, 6 through 14. He said, but now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our afflictions and distress by your faith. For now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, directed our way unto you. And the Lord maketh you to increase and abound in love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. Here's the coming there. Okay. 2 Thessalonians 3:7. We're about done. Page 1798. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you, not because we have no power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Okay, we want to go to Philemon. Trying to find it. Going to go to Philemon, the little book of Philemon. On page 1821, we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. 1821, Philemon 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. He don't forget anybody. And then here's a little different look, because Paul wrote this and he didn't sign his name to it. But Hebrews 8:3-6. And this is on page 1834. Hebrews 8:3-6. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Whereof it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that they are priests that offer gifts according to the law. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed unto thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he was the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon a better promise. Okay, let's go to 9:1. Next, don't even have to turn the page. We'll be done when we read this. And I'm getting way over my time. Then verily the first covenant that also had also ordinance of divine service and worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made first, wherein was the candlesticks, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which hath the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold. Wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded, and the table of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now, when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way unto the holiest of all was not yet manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which is the figure for the time present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect. As pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats, drinks, and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed upon them until the time of Reformation. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats, calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls, goats, and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled in the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And we'll stop with that. That is a lot to take in, but it is a lot that needs to be remembered. Amen. And to know as to what went on and what happened and what was done. And to realize that what Paul did was not of his own doing, but it was the will of God. Because an apostle does the will of God. Just like if we're part of the body of Christ, we're going to do what the head reveals to us in our hope that which is to come. Whatever it might be, we'll have ability to do it and to do it the way that God wills it done. Thank you for your time tonight. God bless you.